Welcome to The Perfect Storm, a bi-weekly podcast for business executives and cybersecurity professionals. Industry veterans Michael Markulek and Matthew Webster chat with guests about the latest cyber news, threats, and trends, and how all of it impacts their businesses. Harbor Technology Group is a cybersecurity consulting firm that offers advisory services to the SMB. Harbor believes by taking a proactive rather than reactive approach to cybersecurity, business leaders can develop a cybersecurity program that will address external requirements, exceed client expectations, and ultimately take their organization to the next level. Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses.
Welcome back to another episode of The Perfect Storm Cybersecurity Podcast. I am absolutely delighted today to have a friend, colleague, and almost neighbor, Jeremy Deck, join me. First, Jeremy, 22 years in the U.S. Army, Army veteran. Like to thank you for your service. And
appreciate that.
Like to thank everything you do to help support veterans.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So, Jeremy, take a few minutes and kind of tell us give us a little bit of background. Give us a little bit about your story. Tell us what you're doing at HUB, and you know, just kind of lay the groundwork for us.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I have a pretty long and what I hesitantly call storied career in the Army. I was a retired warrant officer, did a whole bunch of time working in food service in the military, and decided when I retired back in 2020, it was time to do something new. So I got involved in insurance, oddly enough. I started in the health insurance space, and I've quickly branched out through my work here at HUB International, doing what I'll refer to lovingly as I've become the Swiss Army knife of insurance and risk management. So that's kind of my approach now, is I help companies manage risk across a multitude of insurance products, whether that's commercial benefits or even personal risk, across a wide array of insurance products and offerings. Both nationally and even internationally.
Great. And risk management is an area that I really want to explore today. You know, we've had a couple of conversations. You know, we're talking to CEOs, business owners. You know, what are they thinking about today when they think about risk? And I'm not drilling into cyber risk now or operational, financial, but just in general, you know, what are CEOs, business owners concerned about, and how are they dealing with the risk management challenges?
Rising costs are probably the thing I hear the most. I mean, I would say just let's talk benefits first, where risk management and insurance is important, because obviously you have to make sure your employees are covered, and there's a risk associated with offering coverages to your employees. I mean, medical insurance trends usually rise at generally 7 to 9% a year. That's one example. On the commercial insurance and risk management side, there's usually rising costs of insuring automobiles, general liability, umbrella coverage. I mean, cyber is a good example of that. I mean, just the rising cost of assessing that total cost of risk and accounting for the total cost of risk are really what business owners and CEOs are thinking about, especially over the last probably 3 to 4 years, especially.
Yeah, we've seen that trend as well, and I think I think a lot of things are causing it. You know, the global economy, maybe some of it is resident from the pandemic, but 10 years ago, CEOs were concerned with running their business, and things like risk and risk management were secondary. But I can't go, and I'm sure you see when you go to networking events, CEOs are worried. They're concerned. They're concerned about government regulations. They're concerned about protecting their employees. Obviously, cyber has become a huge threat to the small and medium business. Are you seeing the same things? Are CEOs really kind of now embracing risk management and talking about, comprehensive risk management strategies?
But I think they have to. I think the you called it. So look, I have a close relative who works for a small to mid-sized company headquartered in central Pennsylvania, and they were actually just hit with a cyber attack a week ago. And this is a company, mainly a blue collar company, that does some manufacturing and some production work. And they were essentially ground to a halt from an administrative standpoint because of this cyber attack that basically they had to shutter the business for a couple of days. So, well, I obviously can't get into specific names. This company has 100 or so employees, and that's detrimental to a company of that size to be unable to do some basic fundamental administrative processes simply because of a cyber attack they weren't prepared for.
Right. As you're talking to CEOs, do you know what percentage of them are covered, the businesses are covered by cyber insurance? I mean, I remember statistics pre-pandemic that said, less than 30% of all small and medium businesses had cyber. I generally believe that number's going up, but do you have any feel or any anecdotal evidence that number's climbed up past 30%?
So generally we've seen it surpass 50 to 60%.
Okay.
I've seen some studies that have it as high as 80. I don't necessarily put a lot of faith in a number quite that high, but there's definitely been a huge call it awareness across the industry to add cyber coverage, especially for what I'll call knowledge management type companies. Health technology, law firms, hospital systems are a perfect example. Really, any company that handles any type of personal data and has a large network that may be vulnerable is certainly considering cyber if they haven't already.
Yeah, and it's a great way to mitigate that risk.
Absolutely.
Let me pivot a little bit, kind of away from the general risk management. We just discussed the cyber insurance market. Have you got any thoughts on the cyber insurance market? I know premiums have been going up. Companies have been denying claims based upon incomplete or inaccurate applications. Any thoughts or comments around the cyber insurance industry?
Well, I feel like the best thing a company can do, especially as it relates to working and providing cyber coverage, is to have some internal processes and procedures that allow guys like me to go to a carrier to say, hey, this company is doing their due diligence to prevent cyber attacks, whatever that form might be. And most of those cyber attacks, and you and I both know from serving in the military for a long time, that the individual end users really are a lot of the reasons why some of those attacks occur. So having those clearly defined processes and procedures down to the employee level and documenting those policies and procedures are huge when you go to an insurance carrier and have to quote coverage. So those are exceedingly important from a rate perspective, especially, but also really speak to the ability of the carrier to provide coverage. To make sure they don't deny coverage for whatever reason.
It's interesting that that's the direction you went because I do some speaking on cybersecurity, and one of the things I hammer home is 90% or 90 plus percent of all cyber incidents start with a human doing something wrong, and yet we don't train the humans. We spend tons of money on technology. We spend tons of money on putting up these walls, these defenses. It's like manning the walls with untrained soldiers, right? Let's train the soldiers. Let's make sure that our users know how to interact with data, how to protect data. And I think that often goes kind of under, flies under the radar. So I don't know if I've seen some cyber coverage, some cyber insurance that's now requiring employers to do cyber awareness training. So I don't know if your products or your solutions have that, but we're seeing more and more demand for the training.
Well, listen, across any insurance product, the less, I guess, call it, the less, the fewer assumptions you allow an underwriter to make about your company, the better you are from, or the better you likely can be from a rate perspective. It's no secret that I'll use a transportation example. I'm actually working with a prospective client now that is heavy into the transportation component. And one of the things that they weren't aware of is if you install route tracking and driver behavior software on all of your vehicles, you can potentially look at a 3% reduction on your premium just by tracking how your drivers perform behind the wheel. So it goes beyond just having a driver with a safe driving history. And a lot of it can be attributed to your ability as a company to document those policies and procedures across multiple forms of coverages and business processes.
Right. Yeah, it's it's kind of a, I think we're kind of starting to realize that, you know, technology is not going to solve all of these problems. You know, the good process and good employee awareness is a big component. How about it, how about for your business, for Hub International? Has, cyber changed the way you're conducting business? Is Hub more, protective of data nowadays? Kind of, how's your business evolved based upon the cyber threats?
Well, so Hub International is the, for those listeners that aren't aware, so Hub International is the fifth largest insurance brokerage firm in the country. So we compete with some of the biggest names in the industry, a lot of companies that some of your listeners may have heard of before. And it, I'm not going to say it has changed, but it has certainly made us evolve and be flexible and innovative in terms of the insurance solutions that we offer. I mean, to your point, early on, prior to COVID, cyber insurance had roughly 30%, or there was a 30% adoption rate of cyber insurance policies. And now it's unheard of for a lot of companies to actually not carry it, just because it's become that relevant a solution and a way to protect yourself on the back end should a cyber incident occur. So I would say it's impacted us in the ability to be innovative and to stay attuned to market needs as well as our clients' needs.
Good, good. How about from your perspective? Give me a personal view. Somebody who's come out of the military, who's obviously worked in classified secret information. How do you think Hub and other businesses are doing compared to your background in the military?
I definitely think there's an opportunity for businesses to. So look, I mean, I'll call it what it is. The military was very, very good at educating individual users to make smart decisions when it came to opening a random email that you didn't know where it came from. I can't recall going more than 6 months without taking some type of training associated with cyber risk management. And I think that is, to your earlier point, I think that's the part that's lacking the most, is that individual user education. I think the technology adoption has been phenomenal. I think the having the ability to offer cyber coverage in the event an attack occurs has been an incredible benefit to business owners and CEOs alike. But I do still think, to your point, what's lacking is that education piece. And I'd say if there's one missing component still, it's that.
Okay. How about in your personal life? How are you doing on cyber? You password management? You keeping yourself protected in your business?
Probably not as, I mean, personally, probably not as good as I would like. I mean, I always get really, really frustrated when I have to change a password that I can barely remember month to month. But I will say I have some, what I'll call, I call upon that military experience as to making those passwords something that I can remember, but that are really complicated and use multiple characters a combination of lowercase, uppercase numbers and special characters that I've kind of gravitated to over the years. Not something that I would be familiar with and that I'd remember, but that I guess call it what it is, a hacker or somebody wishing to do any type of cybersecurity attempt or try to hack me in any way, I think would have a tough time, if I'm being honest. I probably don't change my passwords nearly enough. But I do try to make sure those passwords are pretty complicated and certainly go beyond just the simple my birth date.
Boy, I tell people it's your mother's maiden name and your football jersey number.
Yep.
If that's what you're using, it's not good. And
yeah, definitely not.
And I joke, right? I think you've gotten to know me. I have a little bit. I don't call it a gambling problem. I call it a hobby. But my fantasy golf team is protected by a 16-digit password because I don't want anybody changing that lineup.
That's hilarious.
Well, Jeremy, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for sharing your expertise around insurance. I'll give you a last minute. Anything interesting happening at Hub? Anything that you want to pitch or plug right now?
Yeah, so I will say I actually just got wind of this yesterday. So we're actually going to sponsor one of the Ray Hall IndyCar entries for Toronto in June, I believe. So Hub is big in the sports industry. So if you're a sports fan, especially around the New York City area, Hub International is probably a name you might recognize, synonymous with let's use Madison Square Garden as a good example. So our company logo is all over the inside. So if you go to a Knicks game or a Rangers game, you certainly see Hub represented everywhere. But that Ray Hall sponsorship was huge. We actually put it out on LinkedIn yesterday, I believe. So in the sporting world, Hub is a big name, especially.
Good, good. Well, let's not talk about those Knicks because I think they cheated my Sixers out of game two, and we'll see what the weekend holds.
Yeah, yep.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for your time. Harbor Technology, the name sounds like harbors. We have pictures of harbors and lighthouses on our website. We like to ask all of our guests at the end of the interview. Throw us an idea of a great harbor, a great seaport, a great tropical location. And if there's a spot we can go get a burger and a beer, this is your opportunity to tell us where you like to visit.
Well, so there's a couple of good spots. So, I mean, as you know, I spent a whole lot of time in food service in the Army, so I consider myself a bit of a foodie. But I've always been a fan of tropical island destinations. And one of my favorites is Key West. I love going to, so obviously, as a former service member, I like going to the Coast Guard station and checking out the southernmost point of the United States at Key West. Been to Key West a handful of times and love to go back. It's my favorite place to grab a burger, grab a beer. And they have some pretty good seafood too.
You know what? As you say, Key West, what's it called? The Blue Kitchen. We can go get breakfast. They got coffee, brunch kind of things. And they got like roosters and chickens running around.
Yep.
Haven't been down there in a while, but that's a great locale. All right.
Yeah, Key West is pretty spot on.
All right. Again, thanks for your time. And, thanks for joining us and giving our CEO listeners a little bit of advice.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Harbor's innovative processes are based on industry standard frameworks that are tailored to meet the needs of small and medium-sized businesses. We would also like to thank Tom Marshall for the original music. Yes, that Tom Marshall from Phish fame. Harbor's portfolio of services is designed to meet the cybersecurity needs of small and medium enterprises. We offer a range of services from cyber risk advisory to VCSO consulting to meet specific security requirements without putting a strain on your technology budget. If you like what you heard here, be sure to subscribe and share with your friends and colleagues. We release new podcasts every other week and are available on Spotify and Apple. You can reach us through our website if you have additional questions or suggest a great harbor we should mention on our next show.